Today is the grand finale of what we call the Christ Life Conference. Glory! Those of you that have been part of it, haven't been blessed so far? Has it been amazing? Pardon all our voices. It was sown as a seed into the conference. Praise the Lord! Now, you see, one of the reasons Christ Life Conference was called or captioned refreshing was to re-emphasize our core doctrinal convictions. Of course, we cannot cover everything, even by the time we begin in Port Harcourt this evening. Glory! Glory! I believe Port Harcourt Church should be rejoicing right now. Glory! As we begin this evening with a powerful worship encounter. Praise the Lord. And even as we go continuing to Lagos, we can't cover everything. But today is Easter Sunday. And in the spirit of Christ Life Conference and Resurrection Morning, I sensed I should revisit the subject of resurrection again. Praise the Lord. You know, I saw a statistic that got me thinking. They said 60% of Christians in America believe that Muhammad and Jesus lived the same way. They believe. They say there are many ways to God, and Jesus is one of the ways. He did not say he's one of the ways. He said, I am the way. And while I'm not trying to be insensitive to other faiths, I'm not trying to sound, who knows what I'm trying to say? But you get what I'm trying to say, right? But the truth is the truth. Did you know that there are so many religions in the world, but of all the four religions in the world, only one has an empty grave to its founder? Hooray! Only one. All the other remaining three, I'll give you some bit of their history. Judaism, the father of Judaism is Abraham. According to history, he died in 1900 BC, and there is no account of resurrection to him. The founder of Buddhism, Buddha, all the early accounts and manuscripts of Buddha ascribe no resurrection to him. Another big one, Islam. The father of Islam, Muhammad, died on the 8th of June, 632 AD, and no resurrection is acclaimed to him. Praise the Lord. Now, all the millions of Jews, Buddhists, and Mohammedans agree that their founders never rose. What does that tell you? That puts Christianity on a very, very serious and different pedestal. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. I believe that the church needs to re-emphasize the doctrine of resurrection again. And even more. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now, because, you see, you don't need to have faith to believe that somebody died. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You don't need to have faith that somebody died. If he was killed, he died. But you need faith to believe that he rose. That was where the trouble was. Jesus, they didn't have a trouble with Jesus saying, destroy this temple. But it was when he said, I will raise it up in 3 days, they took up stones. Are you with me? And so, if you remove the doctrine of resurrection from our message, there is no other doctrine. Praise the Lord. Resurrection is the apex of our message. Are you with me? So you must understand it very well. I hope to even re-emphasize it in other subsequent teachings in the month of April and further in Jesus' name. Look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 14. Praise the Lord. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain and your faith is also vain. Hey, what a verse of the Bible. Can you read it one more time with a louder voice? Then is our preaching vain and our faith also vain. Ah, it is faith in the resurrection that gets a man saved. It is faith in the resurrection. Do you know, if you really understand what I'm saying, there is a different view to John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him will never perish but have everlasting life. Now, the general understanding of John 3:16 is more than just the death. Because if you think about the death of Jesus Christ, it is not faith in his death alone that gets you saved. Oh my God. Romans 10 from verse 8 to 9. It says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So when it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it was given in resurrection. So as he rose from the grave and God gave him to the world, if you believe in the resurrected Christ, you will be saved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Guess what? The reason why it is not just faith in his death. The Roman soldiers, the high priest, and all of those people that killed him, they believe he died. But they were not saved. Are you with me? But it is those who believe in his resurrection that step into salvation. Glory! Glory! And let me tell you something. The subject of resurrection is so strong because, listen,
Resurrection is what influences Christianity. It is that if Christ rose and he lives, therefore, if he lives in you, he must continue his life in you. Are you with me? Everything he was doing before he died, as he rose and came into your heart, he continues to live in you. So Paul speaking in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Say, Christ liveth in me. Christ lives in me. Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Say that me, Jesus is alive. And he's alive in me. Glory! Practice it. Hey. Say after me, he's alive in me. He's alive in me. Glory! Now, I want to ask a question. Did Jesus resurrect? Did Jesus Christ resurrect? For those who still doubt if he resurrected. Anytime I do this teaching, I try to address this because I don't like to assume that everybody are on the same page. You know, the Bible says that when you present the gospel, that presents in such a way that even the naysayers, even those that doubt the faith, they will have cause to rethink. He says, I will give you a man and a wisdom that your enemies, your adversary will not be able to gainsay. So now think about this. Let's just think about some of the things I want to share with you. If they say Christ did not resurrect, there are some things you must consider. Number one, he died. Jesus actually died. John 19 from verse 34 tells us that when he was on the cross, because one of the theories against the resurrection of Christ is that he did not really die. It's called the swoon theory. Some of you have heard about it, right? They say that he did not die, that he was really beaten and they put him in the grave and he was forming like he died. Who has heard what I'm talking about? If you meet many atheists, they will tell you that they don't believe he died. That they really beat him. Then he was just, he just stayed like as though he was dead. Then they took him into the tomb. Then on the third day, he came out and said, I told you. That in the grave, he was not dead. He was sitting down scrolling Instagram. Thank God the Bible recorded some of the things that were recorded. And not just the Bible, history also. Now, John 19 verse 34 says that when he was on the cross, they pierced a spear by his side. And what came out? Blood and water. It's a medical state, meaning your heart has ruptured. You have died. That was a proof that, hey, this guy is dead. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Secondly, the Bible says that when he resurrected, 500 people saw him at once. My God. 500 people cannot be lying. If you have read this book, The Case for Christ, The Case for Christ, or if you have watched that movie, when Lee Strobel was trying to get a case against the resurrection, he said, what if the people that saw him were actually hypnotized? And so he went to meet a psychiatrist and said, what if the people that actually saw Jesus after he died, after he resurrected, were hypnotized? That they did not really see him. They were just dreaming, you know, they were just so in love with him that they began to imagine his image and they began to pretend like they are seeing him. Are you with me? So he went to meet the psychologist, the psychiatrist, and she said, with the document you gave to me, if 500 people saw him at once, that there cannot be mass psychosis. He said, that kind of psychosis does not happen in mass. He said, if it happens like that, that is a greater miracle than resurrection. I'm telling you. And he was like, oh my God. In fact, scientists and professors say that if you take all the documents of Christ's resurrection and take it to court, it's enough case. It can withstand any case against it. Praise the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 4 to 6, you can check out that 500 people saw him at once. Also, in history, no Christian ever claimed he did not resurrect. There were Christians that under fierce persecution recanted the faith. So, imagine you were living in a time when they killed you for believing in Jesus. They killed you. So, in the nation of Rome, at some point, it was a sin. It was against the law to believe in Jesus. It was against the law to be caught with the Bible. So, many times, what they did, when they catch Christians or when they caught the Christians, they would try to get them to recant the faith. And many of them under pressure, imagine they put hot knife, they put it in fire like that, very hot, and say, believe in Jesus or you die. So, they will have to make some of them to recant. And some of them, when they pierce the knife, they say, I know do again. But nobody claimed he did not rise. Said that me, he rose. He rose! Praise the Lord. These are things to consider. Now, I think the most important to consider was that he was killed by Roman soldiers. Hey, God. Hey, Roman soldiers were expert killers. He was killed by Roman soldiers and he was put in a prison, in a tomb with a great stone. And guess what? The stone was guarded by 16 soldiers. Now, there's another funny, useless theory that says that the apostles of Jesus came and beat the soldiers. They came and beat the soldiers and the soldiers said, we are not doing it again. Roman soldiers. Roman, you see, God. Roman soldiers that Peter saw them and denied. Say, I don't know him, I don't know him. Ran away. Soldiers that this one ran out, went to hide inside a room. Then the stone, the Bible actually said it was sealed. That means they used cement and sealed it. Ah, my God. They sealed the tomb with the stone. First of all, even if you beat the soldiers, how will you now remove the stone? How much time do you have on a Sunday morning to come, beat the soldiers and remove the stone, and you think they will not send reinforcement? That is, the soldiers will not kill you first. And guess what? In those days, if you read about Roman history, if you lose a prisoner, you will die. Remember when Paul and Silas were in the prison, and as they worshiped and prayed, the prison door broke, and the jailer saw the prisoners free. He took a sword to kill himself. Ask yourself, why did he do that? He knew that killing myself is better than the killing they will give me. Hey. Then a prisoner as popular as Jesus, he rose. Glory! Glory! And another one, Matthew 28, verse 11 to 12. After the soldiers saw what happened, guess what? They ran to the chief priest. They were shaking. The Bible says they were shaking. They were shaking. I'm sure one saw an angel and said, I don't see anything past me. Actually, how many of you have heard of this book, The Nicene Creed? Okay. Sorry, I'm on my own. That book, apart from I Believe in One God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, where you get all those write-ups, many soldiers wrote their own personal testimony there. That after that resurrection, they were forced to believe. See here, you see this Christianity we are doing? We are not playing. Tell your neighbor, we are not playing. That's why when I preach about it and I try to get people to be saved and genuinely serve God, there is a passion inside because I know. Yeah. Don't wait. Let me tell you something. Everybody is a believer. Every man on this earth is a believer. The only problem is when you believe. Some will believe in life, some will believe in death. Don't wait until you've left this place to believe that there is a Jesus and he is king. Don't wait. Are you getting me? Everybody is a believer. I know. Because of our style of worship, we come, we're excited, there's speaker, drum, lights, and you think it's a concert. It's more than concert. This is serious stuff here. This is eternity. This is life and death here. Praise the Lord. See after me, he rose. Guess what? In Matthew 28 from verse 11, and when they were going, behold, some of the watchers or the soldiers came into the city and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. Verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers to do what? Saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. Why did they give them money? Ask yourself, why did they give them money? In law, there's something called motive. If you were giving money, you are trying to hide something. If they gave them money, they knew that with what the soldiers had seen, it will spread. The soldiers will go and talk about it. So they said, let us bribe them not to talk. Instead, let them bribe them to say something else. I can imagine what a sight it was in Israel that time. My God. Think about it. 3 days ago, you were standing somewhere, you saw a man. You were flogging the man. Flogging the man. Flogged him so much. You've seen me put the pictures of the Roman scourge, right? Jesus. It's not, you know, when they say whip, people think it's cane. Those Romans, they were talented. Talented killers. Do you know what it means? That you create is what they don't call it weed, they call it the Roman scourge. It has dumbbells, that's heavy irons, small, but they are very heavy. Have you seen some things that they look very small, but when you try to carry it, you know, you let it go. This one, small dumbbells like that, then it has spikes wrapped around it. So when they flog you that thing, the dumbbell will make your skin soft. It's like hitting hard iron on your skin. When they flog the second time, the spikes will enter and drag out the flesh. In fact, one of the proof that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh is, usually, they said prisoners they flog like that don't make it. Before you get to the cross, you have died. Do you know what it means? They're flogging you and it's packing out flesh. Most of them don't make it. As they are going, before they reach, they say, I give up. Even Jesus at a point could not carry the cross again. Dropped it. Simon of Cyrene. You know, when people play with their Christianity, eh? No, they have to explain to Jesus. So. No, you have to explain. You know, sometimes as a minister, you face a lot of stress. I mean stress. Stress like what's making my voice to disappear. Sometimes you almost feel like, must we do this much? Then you think about how much Christ did. No, it's worth it. No matter the stress I will face in this life, it is nothing compared to the one that Christ faced. Every small thing, you see some believers, they are ashamed. Preach, I'm ashamed. Do like this, I'm ashamed. Pause, I'm ashamed. Jesus was made naked on the cross. Forget all those things that they will cover. The reason they are covering is so that the film will not be vulgar. I'm telling you, read about Roman persecution, you will be scared. Those people, Satan really, they did IT with Satan. Do you know what it means to have the audacity to crucify somebody and say that one is not enough, turn him upside down? Many will think that Christ was nailed in his palm. Biology tells us if you are nailed in your palm, your body weight will pull you down. And if you study history, that's not how the Roman soldiers nailed people. They nailed them on their wrist. It's a 9-inch nail. So it must go this way and come out as long as this to pass through their thick, about 4-inch or 5-inch wood. It must be that long. Then they told you, go and preach. You went to preach and somebody said, get out. Then you say, I'm not doing it. I'm persecuted for that. I'm not doing it again. You invited somebody to church. The person said, that your church, Christians at this, they insult you on social media, you get angry. They insult you on Twitter, they play. Let me tell you, they will like say the paradox or the irony now, or which one, about the Christian faith. We are trying to help people, though. I'm telling you. Praise God. Shout it after me. Jesus rose!
Jesus rose!
He's risen!
He's risen!
Glory!
Glory!
So, what are some things you need to know about the resurrection? What we have titled in some other sermons, the gospel of his resurrection. Number one, the resurrection is our assurance of the faith. Acts chapter 17. Why should we trust the message of Jesus Christ? Because he rose. Acts 17 from verse 30. The Bible says, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men. Everybody read the last verse, last phrase. In that he raised him from the dead. I want you to read this thing. Read it louder. 1, 2, 3, go. Because he has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. You know, when you do an investment, or when you want to launch into something, you like to have assurance. How am I sure that this thing I'm doing, I'm not just wasting my time? How are we sure that after all our Christianity on the earth, when we go and stand before God, we will not be slight? The assurance is that he rose. Anybody can wake up and say, this is the way of salvation. This is the way. You know, let me tell you something. One major difference that people don't notice about the Christian faith and other faiths, and every other, all the millions and probably billions of religious faiths in the world, is that every one of those faiths says, this is the way of salvation. So they come and say things like this. If you do this, if you master, the one that makes me laugh the most is Buddha. They say, if you master inner peace, if you master the way of peace, that if you can master the way of peace, you will ascend into eternal life. Everybody can tell you, this is the way to, if you try this, a prophet can come and tell you, this is the way. Somebody else came and said, I am the way. You know, I read a book by Josh McDowell, The New Evidence That Demands a Verdict. He said, there are only three conclusions about the man Jesus. If you listen to his statement, he's either Lord, a lunatic, or a liar. I'm telling you. And first of all, you cannot even say he's a liar, because if you want to lie, which kind of lie? I am the way. For a person to come and tell you, in 3 days I will rise again. You know, somebody said, okay, Jesus rose from the grave. What is the difference between Jesus rising from the grave and Lazarus rising from the grave? Who has thought about what I just said? And then other people that rose from the grave in the Old Testament, that okay, they prayed for them and they came from, they rose from the grave. There are two differences. Number one, every other person that rose from the grave in the Bible, they were prayed for to rise. Nobody prayed for this one. Who? On his own. Ah, Jesus. On his own, he came out. Hakapatayata. Secondly, everybody that was raised from the grave died again. But this one arose from the grave and ascended. Ah, I like that verse of the Bible, Ephesians 4. When he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. That means he made the spirit of captivity a captive. Do you know that? See, when they say, have you ever heard that statement? The ultimate prize. So, according to man's belief, once he reached the place of death, man is powerless. No doctor can reach beyond. I'm telling you, when the person is dead and they closed, it's gone. You have gone beyond the reach of man. Only God can break through. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Tell them, I believe in the resurrected Christ. I believe in the resurrected Christ. Romans 1 verse 4 says, he was declared to be the Son of God with power, by the, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. So if you doubted ever that he came from God, that he rose from the dead, is your assurance to believe. Are you hearing me? So he has conquered death. How much more the issues of your life? Praise the Lord. So because he arose, he can be trusted. Somebody says, oh, this is the way to eternal life. No, listen, this one died and arose and told you, if I told you I'm the way before I died, I rose, I am still the way. Except he can be trusted. He's my assurance. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is our assurance. If you go back to that verse of the Bible in Acts chapter 17 from verse 31, it's actually not just the assurance of our faith, it's also our assurance of judgment. Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. If you ever doubted that there is judgment coming, because he rose, that's your assurance. He is coming. He is coming, oh. Oh my God, he is coming. You know, the work in Abuja is, I can use the word just starting. There are some teachings we've not done. See, when I study the doctrine of eternal judgment, every time I study it, it reminds me that, you see, this is my work with God. You see, this is my commitment to the souls of men and the ministry. I'm taking it seriously. Are you with me? Because there are going to be two levels of judgment. First of all, there is judgment for the world. That judgment is called the Great White Throne Judgment. In fact, according to scripture, if you appear before the Great White Throne, just know that Oyo is your own. That Great White Throne is for everyone who is not saved. The Bible says even those who are in the grave, the sea will vomit their bodies. Ah, yeah. The sea will vomit their bodies. Everything will come out. And Jesus will sit on that great white throne and judge the world. After that, we will now have family meeting. All of us in the church, we will resume in heaven. And Jesus will say, okay, this one is called the judgment seat of Christ. Then, that one, we are already saved though, but we will be judged according to the books. What did you do? Say, okay, brother so and so. I said you should go and pastor that church. You collected all their money and japa. Don't worry. Okay. Stand here. Put his work on fire. The Bible says that day our works will be judged by fire. When I hear some things some ministers and ministries do, I say, you don't know what is coming. Don't worry. You don't know. Do you know what it means? That our work will be tested of what sort it is. Of what sort it is. That means this is why quality. It will matter more than quantity. Let me explain. Oh my God. I didn't plan to talk about this. Maybe the Holy Spirit is pushing me for somebody here. Do you know that if you get gold as big as this size, it is worth more than grass as big as the size of this building? Did you hear what I just said? If you get gold as big as this speaker or as big as this television, it is worth more than grass. Because the Bible says that he's going to try every work, whether it will be of hay, of wood, of stubble, or gold, or silver. Silver as big as this speaker is going to be worth more than the whole wholesale full of grass. Hey! And guess what he said? It will be tried by fire. So Jesus will sit on the judgment seat, carry your work, and they will put it on fire. Bam. Fire will start. The Bible says it will be tested of what sort it is. Imagine your work is what grass. It was so loud in the earth, everybody was hailing you. Everybody was hailing you, but when they put it on the judgment seat and fire burnt it, the flames will burn everything to ashes. But somebody that his work was gold, the fire will make it brighter. Are you getting me? That's why, see, when you understand that there is a judgment coming, nothing discourages me. Ah, nothing. The master sent you, the master sent you. And he sent all of us. Guess what? You are not even going to be judged based on how men's approval of you, but God's approval. Men can look at you and say you are failing, but what is God saying? You are not going to be judged based on men's approval of you, but of God's approval of you. So for instance, God may have planned a great evangelist to win a million souls or a billion souls, and maybe because of distraction, he was only able to do 500. Or maybe he was only able to do 1,000. Or he was only able to do 100,000. And everybody celebrating him. You, God told you, you will be a faithful minister so and so place. And your job is to raise 15 children. That's God's honor. You know, we are celebrating Idahosa. We are celebrating Idahosa. Papa Idahosa, the great Idahosa. Do you know the person that raised him? Many of you don't know about him. The person that raised Idahosa. Some of you know him. Some of you don't know him. God told him, he was a British missionary. God told him, leave where you are and come down. It was Pa Elton that took Idahosa, Papa Idahosa, and sent him to Bible school. He said, I see your zeal for God, but God told me to raise only 4 people. Idahosa was among the 4. The other 3, okay, you know one of them. You know Papa Billy Akani. Papa Billy Akani was one among the 4. The other 2, I don't know them. He said, God, so his job to Africa was to raise 4 people. He said, with these 4, Africa will be covered. Kai, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Say after me, assurance. Because he rose. Say after me, because he rose. I have assurance. Glory. Ah. Let me tell you, if God has given you something to do, do it faithfully. Do it faithfully. Number 2, his resurrection has given us new births. An eternal life. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Can we open that verse of the Bible? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Are you blessed? 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. Glory! He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So that means if he died and did not resurrect, he may have paid for our sins, but will not be born again. Because let me tell you something, if you have a pig, and the pig goes and destroys, or quote unquote, messes up somebody's house, you can go to the person's house and say, please, I'm sorry, you know what, I will pay for everything. I will clean up everything. Are you with me? I will clear your place for you. I will even buy the things that were broken for you. That does not mean the pig has changed. You may have cleared the person's house. You may have paid for all the damages, but the pig is still a pig. By the death of Jesus, our sins have been paid for. But you see, if you only stop by paying for our sins, we would have been forgiven, but the possibility of us coming into righteousness and a new life would have been there. So what really happened in redemption? Let me just transsummarize it. How many of you have heard of this statement called the blood covenant? The blood covenant. Do you really know what it means? Let me explain. So, remember what we call communion. What we call the last supper that Jesus did before he went to die. Have you ever asked yourself, why did he do that thing just before he went to die? A covenant is a binding law between two people. And a blood covenant is a covenant of life for life. Jesus was about to go and die, but he is God in the flesh. How will he get connected to us in such a way that his death can affect us? How can you say somebody died and the person's death paid for your sins? How are you connected to him? How can his death atone for you? This was what God did. When he was on that table, he cut a covenant with his apostles. to represent all of mankind. So he said, this is my blood. If you know what blood covenant really looks like, it is that blood will be shed and this person will take of it, this other person will take of it. Blood covenant is saying, I have become you, you have become me. So when he took that blood, that drink, and said, this is my blood, he said, this is my blood shed for the remission of sins. And when he drank it and told them to drink, he was saying that from now henceforth, I have become one with man. Man has become one with me. So now, by that oneness, he became sin. But because we are one with him, when he goes to die, this was the logic through which we were not on the ones on the cross. But if he's on the cross, spiritually, we are the ones on the cross. Good example. A boy and girl enters a relationship. And they love themselves so much. Please don't try it. Never try it. Don't enter blood covenant with anybody. In Jesus' name. But they now do blood covenant. After a while, anything that happens to the boy will happen to the girl. Anything that happens to the girl will happen to the boy. You know why? Because spiritually, they have become one. The blood covenant says, I am you. You are me. We are one. The life of the flesh is in the blood, right? Blood covenant is saying, two of us, we are now one. Anything I do, it's as though you did it. Anything you do, it's as though I did it. Hey, Jesus, 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 Kapataya. So what happened? By the time he took that blood and shared with his apostles, he was saying, because of this blood covenant I'm cutting right now with the apostles, it is symbolic of all men. From now henceforth, I have become them. They have become me. So now, they are the ones that sin though. They are the ones that committed all the sins. They are the ones that are supposed to die. They are the ones that are supposed to be flogged. They are the ones that are supposed to be punished. But if I do it, it will be as though they did it. Ah. Hey, did you get what I just said? So when they were flogging him in the spirit, it was legally righteous as though it was us that was being flogged. This was the logic of redemption. Are you following this? So he went to the cross in the spirit. It was as though you are the one that went. You were chilling in your house, but he was taking the pain for you. Are you with me? On the cross, he was taking all the chastisement of your peace. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we have been healed. That means anything that does not represent God in your life is illegal. Sickness is illegal. Sickness is illegal. Are you hearing me? The work of the devil is illegal in your life. You cannot pay two times. When Jesus Christ took the pain, you paid. And guess what? He now descended into hell. Went to the grave. It was as though you are the one that went. Jesus, Jesus. It was as though you are the one that went because you have become one with him. And guess what? The Lord now made him a new creature to arise from the grave. When he became a new creature, guess who became a new creature? Everyone that believes, who became new creatures. This is the oneness. So because he resurrected from the grave, we also have resurrected. No wonder the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1 from verse 5, he says he was the first begotten of the dead. He was the first person to come out of spiritual death. So that anyone that believes, you have an escape right now. Hey, you have an escape. You have an escape. You have escaped from spiritual death. You have escaped from the claws of Satan. You have escaped from the hold of darkness. Glory! Kai. So now, because he's resurrected, I'm a new creature. If any man be in Christ, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. If you study the Bible, after the time he rose, from then on, anything the Bible called him, he called us. So if he has standing up on high and led captivity captive, guess who has the authority right now? You have it. If you defeated the devil, that means you defeated the devil. No wonder he says you are more than conquerors. You are not the one that fought, but you are one with the one that fought. So you were crossing your leg in the house.
Hey, but your champion went and defeated the devil for you. So his victory has become your victory.
I remember when I will see verse like this and I'll be shouting, hey, hey, hey. Now he says, because he's seated at the right hand of God, you also are seated. From that henceforth, let me show you something. In Romans 4 verse 25, something you may never have seen. It's Bible study. Romans 4 verse 25. This is why the Bible says, if we believe in him, we have been justified. How many of you know that there is a difference between justification and forgiveness? The Bible says, talking about Jesus, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. Now, if somebody committed offenses, the person ought to receive forgiveness. So, we accept you are the one that did the thing that was wrong. The only pardon we can have for you is that we are forgiving you. Are you with me? You are the one that sinned. We can pardon you and say you are forgiven. But when they say you are justified, it is that we are sorry to accuse you. We did a check and investigation and we discovered that you are not part of it at all. So you have been justified and acquitted. How can he say Jesus was delivered from our offenses and was raised for our justification? You are seeing two people here. It is that when he died for the sinner man. But when he rose, he gave birth to a new man. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. So when he was delivered from offenses, it was as though he was paying. Not as though. He paid for our sins. Are you with me? When he was delivered on the cross, he paid for our sins. But when he rose from the grave, a new man was born without sins. This new man has no past. It's called justification. Glory. So now, because he rose, I am born again. But guess what? That's not where he stops. Because he rose, I will live forever. Hey. Because he rose, I will live forever. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. Say to me, I'm blessed. Hey, he says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Hey, Akatalia. You know, the Bible calls Jesus Christ the first fruit. What is first fruit? First fruit is usually in agriculture. When you plant corn, the first corn that comes out is the first fruit. It is a sign that there are other corns coming. So if the first fruit has been harvested, prepare, the others are coming. So he's telling you that in that same way, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, them also which sleep in Jesus. He had conquered death so much, he's calling death sleep. He's calling death sleep. Them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So let me tell you something. When you die, your body is just sleeping, waiting. Waiting for the trump of God. Ah, Jesus, Jesus. Let's go further in this verse. Verse 15. Hey, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Look at this. He's calling it sleep. Ah, I'm tempted to attack something. You know, somebody said that Paul's teachings and Jesus' teachings are not the same. Yes, it's not true. Remember when Jesus was going to raise Lazarus, what did he say? Let's go and awake him from sleep. Yes, Jesus was the first person to call death sleep because he had the power to wake you. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them that which are asleep. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Hey! I wish you would shout more. He shall descend from heaven with a shout. And with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hey, hey, hey. Let me tell you something. This is actually a teaching on sound, though. It's a teaching on sound. He's saying that by sound energy, God will activate the work of the Spirit and bring out a new body. The Bible says, mortality shall be swallowed up of immortality, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then which you are alive, you shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Glory! I like the way 1 Corinthians put it. In a moment, in a twinkle of an eye, we will be changed. In a moment is shorter than a minute. In a moment, we will be changed. Look at this. In a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He will give you, let me tell you something, what we experience today as divine healing is actually a foretaste of the fullness of a new body. In the resurrection, when he gives us a new body, our body will be complete. Even if you had a leg that you did not like, that was bent like this, you will see yourself walking straight. But as a proof that there is a coming life, he gives you healing right now. Are you with me? So by the Holy Ghost, we can taste of the life to come. Oh my God. And I decree over you every sickness in your body. The Bible says, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, your body is complete, and it will be on earth as it is. In the name of Jesus, receive your healing right now. 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 Receive your restoration right now. Receive your healing right now. Receive your correction right now. Receive your redemption right now. In the name of Jesus. Pray in the spirit 1 minute. Kepala katalia kapai. Rute kete kete belia. Ashadadabe. Eke tete telia. Ronde gese tepele ketelia. Kepala basha katelia. Ripaka sete ketelia. Runde sepele kete. Jesus is risen. I command asthma to disappear. I command low blood cells to disappear. Your blood cells are corrected. Your blood cells are corrected. Your eyesight is corrected. Hey, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy chapter 1 from verse 8 to 10. Say after me, death has been defeated. It says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Verse 9. Who hath saved us and hath called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given in Christ Jesus before the world began. Everybody, verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. Hey, he hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. Hey, that means when you receive the gospel, you receive life and the potential for immortality. Kai. Hey, when you receive the gospel, your ticket to immortality, you've received it. Ekapatayata. He has abolished death and revealed a new dispensation. It's called life and immortality. I came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. I came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. Hey! The life of God is in you. I command death to disappear. I command sickness to disappear. I command pain to disappear. Do you remember when Jesus was coming to raise Lazarus? They said, I know he will rise on the last day. What did he tell them? I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. Even if that day is in the future, I can bring you to the present. Even if you rise again on the last day, let me tell you today, he can raise anything dead in your life. He's the resurrection and the life. Kepere ketelia. Pray in your spirit right now. Sepre ketetelia ketelia. If the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. He will quicken your mortal body. He will quicken your business. He will quicken your finances. He will quicken all that concerns you. This is resurrection. Pastor, my business is scattered and dead. My life is dead. My life is scattered. No, in the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwell in you, he will ignite that your dead life, that your upside down life, that your confused life. He will raise it from the dead. He will bring it out from the grave. Pray in the spirit. I want to hear you right now. Pray in tongues right now. Kepere ketele gede dedesa. Shele mendele peketelia.
He's the resurrection and the life. 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 Resurrection and life. Resurrection and life.